Can we make a very quick round of presentation? Just the place where you are coming from?
Near Hamburg.
I'm from Hamburg.
From Bonn.
From Weimar.
Vienna.
Italy.
Italy.
Lübeck.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Toronto, Canada. We'll be in Spain for a while.
Okay.
Hannover.
Bremen.
Berlin.
Using.
Weimar too.
Okay. Thank you. And all of you are related to some Freifunk in some way. Yeah? How many of you have heard of Libre Router? Or okay. And can anyone describe what do you think Libre Router is, or yeah? Yeah. Or what do you know about it as a project? Anyone? Yeah.
Open hardware, as far as I know.
Good. More. Opa. Yeah.
It's still in development. It's still in development. No, yeah. No router available yet.
Okay.
Many radios, good for meshing.
Okay, more. I like this. More. Bitte. No? Okay. Just a second. Maybe it's too early. Okay, so all of that is true. I wanted to also present then. So as you presented your origin, this is a bit the team that is pushing this project, and is also very much diverse. So we have like Terry, we had all this year. Terry in Australia doing more the hardware, more the tech stuff, or like the electronics stuff. And then here more in Europe with the Pau and Geo, we've been developing the firmware for this. And in Argentina, Nico. I'm presenting people that can't be here, but are part of the team, so that we can get some perspective. Because for me, this is one of the values. Of course, it's a router with many radios that is good for meshing. It's something that is still in development. And it's open source hardware. But for me, it's also a very worldwide project made by grassroots community members, which is something very rare in my opinion, and that I think we should do more. We should do this kind of bridges and try to get together, because the result is very good. Maybe the router takes a year more to be produced than what is originally planned, but the relationships, like the human relationships that are built during that time, are also very valuable. And yeah, then yeah, that would be a bit overview. Now, since a month ago, we do have a router, and it's only a first prototype, so it's there are many things, like for example, as you can see here, the most to me, like the most simple bug kind of happened. That is, there was some wiring error in the Ethernet ports, and so the Dragino had to make this workaround so that we could still test the prototype. And it was funny because a year ago I met with Paul Gardner from, I don't know if you know Serval project. Doesn't it ring a bell? I read somewhere that he was in here in Germany testing some first prototype of hardware he was developing for Australia, and he was like, I definitely want to help with that. And when I met him, he told me that he was very much surprised that the Ethernet ports on his board were also badly done. Like there was some error in the wiring, and he could not get the Ethernet ports to work. I spent a day with him trying to work around it, and I couldn't. And I was like, whoa, this is much more complex than what I originally thought. I wouldn't have never thought of asking a manufacturer in Hong Kong, like that has long experience doing routers and especially Wi-Fi routers, and getting the Ethernet ports wrong. Like that for me was a total surprise. This is one of the lessons learned more. And I was even more surprised because I knew this could happen from having this experience with Paul. I knew this could happen, like this was something that could happen. And even then, we could not prevent it. Like when the first prototype was out of the factory, the Ethernet ports went wrong. And I laughed so much because I was like, we talked about this a year ago, like when I met Paul, and I said, oh, this is not going to happen to us. Like, of course not. Like Dragino has years of experience doing hardware. There's like, the bugs are going to be much more subtle or much more complex. Not the Ethernet ports. And yes, of course, that happened. So Marek from OpenMesh, from Batman, told us, when we started back in the BattleMesh in Porto, we made a small presentation, and he told us, it's very good that you're joining this boat of hardware developing, because we need to, and you are going to... even if you know the problems that can happen, they will happen anyway. And I was like, no, of course not. So, yeah. Then, having said that about the ports, the first prototype, based on other experience, is very good. It's in a very good shape. Like Terry, who has also been doing this for years, and also Electra, who I think is not here, but both said that they were surprised by the result, like that so much is working on a first prototype. Daniel, I think, as well. I could show, I don't know if you're interested or not, but so basically the radios are working. There is some issue with the... This is right now. There is some issue with the chain one, like this chain of the onboard radio, and there is something weird with the switch. It is working, but one of the interfaces of the SOC is apparently not properly connected. But besides that, and there are also some very small details, like the mounting holes are not aligned to what the case should be. And so these are all things that for us were like, oh, we should fix this. But on the other hand, and this is also, for me, it was another key lesson, was that the size is way too big. And for me, this is okay. It's like incredibly big, but not a problem. Like if you put it in a rooftop, you don't care if it's this small or big. But for shipping, it indeed makes a huge difference. And that's something that I also would not have thought about. But Dragino is very much conscious about that and so wants to basically redesign the whole thing to be smaller and more modular, if we could say, which is going to be a second prototype. We expect to have that in the first quarter, which probably means by mid-year. I don't know anymore. Huh? Yes. Also, yeah, that's another long story. Anyway. So this is a very brief status report on the current development or on the current progress. Now I would like to know what do you want to know? Like, what are you interested in finding out? The price. So far we have been able to keep with our original target that the whole bundle would be around $100, which includes, like, the whole bundle means this inside a nice box with two MIMO antennas and the box. This might change this might change a bit, but that's the use case we have in mind. I may have some photos. But anyway, so two MIMO antennas, 5 GHz, so that you can mesh with those. With the three radios. So like the internal radio and the two PCI modules and all the cabling, so that you can have like two connectors per radio and you can cable those two antennas. So it's like the full node. The idea is that the full node would be around $100. The last modifications, like Dragino said, that maybe it would be like 105 or 110. But the main problem is the shipping. Like this prototype is really not good for shipping because the box is so big, and so shipping cost. In an airplane, it's impossibly expensive. Like, it might be, I don't know, $50 of shipping per unit, which is totally nonsense. And also, there is a small difference in cost of the PCB and all the things if you make it smaller. But the main problem is the shipping in right now. Yes, we are still aiming and having this price range, which is, at least for our needs, quite good. Like, it's something that people in this remote little towns. I'm not making a presentation. Like, Isa already presented this. Many of you were not there. But if you want to find out more, where are we planning to deploy these routers, you can go into altermundi.net or tsentseleni.net, which is in South Africa. So there is a whole part of the team in South Africa doing solar, like adapting or working on the things that they need for their context. In the case of Argentina, the plan is that each house will have one of these full nodes, which is this with a PoE, cables for the antennas all mounted in a pole, and basically that. And so you can point one antenna to another house, the other antenna to the other house, they will be on different channels, and you will have a very nice performant mesh. Very easy, like with zero configuration, or, yeah. Yes. So the people deploying this are totally non-technical. They are not nerds. or yeah, it's just they use an Android app to check the signal level, which is also something new for them, but they understand it because there is a graphic. Like they don't necessarily need to understand what's a dB and why is it negative, like why is it under zero or anything. It's just a graph, which is the higher the better, and that's it.
Will this ship with different antenna options?
Yes, I mean, so far we are focusing on our use case or our needs, because that was the whole point since the beginning. Like if from that point this is useful to more communities, which we expect that to happen, then great. And if those communities kind of join and participate and say, oh, we would need a different antenna, and so we will see how to ship this with a different antenna, then yeah, super. Like okay. this will create a much more diverse, and it will also help other communities.
And you can buy it independently.
Yes, of course. So we are not as a Libre router project, we are not going to sell this to, like, we are not going to make a web cart where you can say, oh, I want to buy. This is going to be managed by Dragino, so he will sell the Libre router as one of his products, kind of. We are not interested in the commercial part of this. We just want to have a router that we design and that fulfill our needs. That's the whole point. We are not a commercial company or anything.
I also saw there was something on the mailing list about something with Mesh Point.
Yes.
Do you have an update on that?
Mesh Point.
Yeah, I think they have this module, and they're looking to integrate the Libre router into that.
Mesh Point.
No. I think the website is like meshpoint.me.
Yeah, it's not. I heard about Mesh Point, but I'm a bit lost.
Ah, okay, no worries.
Did you see it on list of Libre router?
Or? Yes. I think so.
I should check.
We can check up.
Okay, we can talk later. El termo.
Hey. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify, but I think you already did. That, yeah, our intention is not to sell the device, as we are a shop. So what we did is to design a router to demonstrate this is kind of possible from the community point of view. And the design is there, is open, so any community can take it, can modify it, and can produce. So the idea is that people from different communities can join, maybe with other communities, and you can produce your own router based on what we did with your own needs. So yeah, I think that's the idea behind it.
Okay, to take a closer look on the hardware, where can I find the specification sheet version 6? I see on your website, but I cannot download it. It's just a screenshot, I see, that's right?
No, there is a button to download.
Can you show that?
Yes. Sorry. You mean this?
Yes, right.
Here you can download it. So it's a PDF.
Okay. Hello? Yeah. Okay. And a fact sheet on for the hardware or for the PCB itself? That's just the hardware specification. Where can I see plans for the hardware?
Yeah, like the Gerber files.
Yes, for the PCB itself.
Yes, yeah. We need to upload them. I don't think we haven't asked Dragino for them. Like it's definitely part of the contract. Like he's more than happy to publish them, but he haven't done that yet. Yes, that's. Thank you for reminding.
Would be interesting.
Yes, definitely. We kept kind of a mixed. I don't know. We kept a kind of a mixed model of developing where. I don't know if this was the original idea, but it came out like this, where we had like a private mailing list, which is Libre Router Devil, where like the core team, like the committed team, was there in order to be able to discuss things that were not necessarily public at that point, like ideas or whatever, or more private discussions, and from there try to publish as much as possible, but that also takes some extra effort because as not everything. So, for example, there was the schematic that I don't think we ever published that. Yeah, so there were many versions of this schematic, and now in retrospect, I think we could have published them, and. Maybe it could have helped in some cases, like to get more eyes to look at them. But for me, we managed the best we could, kind of. Like
sure. If more people, hello. Yes. Uh-huh. If more people can download that, more can see it, and they can give you feedback. Yeah.
Yes.
So at this point, I just have this PDF. Yeah, but I cannot see how the PCB is done. Yeah,
I think I can definitely publish this today, even like after the talk, because it's something like we had this political decision, we simply did not execute it, and yes. Until having this prototype, I was believing that we would never, I couldn't believe that we got to this point because of all the delays. Initially, like when we started like a year and a half ago, we hoped that we would have a prototype by end of 2016, like a year ago. So in total, because of many different factors, it got delayed like more than a year, or about a year, and it's understandable why that happened. It was a mixture of many things, but yeah. And yes, I think we could have done a bit better in terms of wider outreach to community, because for example, recently, like Daniel sent, no, Piotr, like this. I think he's around, like Piotr, Pepe 2K. Do you know?
No.
Okay, so he sent an email to Daniel saying, "Oh, like I saw this commit on your staging tree. Please do note that this can be fixed otherwise, and don't push this." And I was like, "Wow! Like people are looking. Like I cannot believe that people are looking at." Each other station trees. It's not something
that's like open source should work, yeah.
Yes. I understand that, and I have experience, but I was surprised that people would look at station trees. Like that's something that for me it was like, and it was like the day after it was. It kind of Nico was saying that it kind of gives you some I don't know.
Not clear what a station tree.
Like your private Git tree, yeah.
Staging.
Yeah, staging.
Trees.
So sorry. So Daniel committed some code.
Yeah.
to make it work and push. Yes, exactly, exactly.
But I also think like it was the first time we did something like this, and it was like a big overhead of organization skills that were underestimated from the beginning. So it's really interesting also to share this experience with, and maybe there are other ways in handling it. And it's like, yeah, also this part is really important, I think, for share everything.
One thing, so just to kind of explain a bit why we ended up managing it this way. In the Battle Mesh in Porto, we did this presentation, asked for suggestions or comments or anything. And there were many people saying things like, oh, like you should put more flash, and you should put like, and suddenly we realized that maybe too many people, like it was kind of a bike shed. And that's not a good idea. Especially if you're developing hardware, that this is something I understand now. Compiling code is something that you can do in a day. Compiling hardware is not something that you do in a day. Like if there is a bug, you fix it this way or not. Like this line. Like you need to do a month of redesign and PCB, and like it takes maybe a month as a minimum to test your modification.
The more people looking on your design, maybe you have been recognized your error more early, yeah? so you can avoid such problems. And if you have the design in the internet, you don't recognize that people are looking at it. So, and sometimes maybe you just get an email, so I found an error, yeah, so you can change that before manufacturing your PCB, yeah?
It's interesting, because precisely in this example of the flash, we decided to put double the amount of flash based on this suggestion at the Battle Mesh. Like, this guy said, flash is so cheap that please put double, and you can even do dual boots, and yeah, we said, yeah, why not? Like, let's do that. And a year after, Daniel was fighting with the SPI chip that has some hardware bug that if the... precisely because the flash was more than 16 megabytes, it's 32 megabytes, there was a bug that... or there is a bug in this board that... The chip needs some initialization or something, some details I didn't fully understand, and so the board crashes when you try to reboot it. I think that's the final symptom. And Daniel made a workaround, basically capping the flash to be recognized as 16 megabytes, and so we are not using the other half. But before that happened, like Terry and like other people were like, oh, this is crashing, and they could not understand fully why. And the mail of Piotr was exposing another solution, like the proper solution. So possibly if we would have been able to involve him or publish everything, maybe we could have prevented this from happening. I don't know. So I think it's a good... something to take in mind, but it's very hard to find this balance between not bike shedding and being able to involve everyone. I think it's hard, and we did our best, kind of, or yeah, we tried to do our the best we could.
Would have a question to the communities in Germany, or I don't know where else you're from, but like also with the router there will be a book published in how to use it and how to install it. Do you have any examples in Germany? Did you work on stuff like that? Or like I also talked to, I don't know his name, but he's working in refugee shelters as well in deploying the networks. So I'm pretty sure you're working with non-technical people sometimes, especially I know in the last years when the refugee crisis happened in Germany, there was some movement, and also in Austria. Are there any like booklets or any like non-tech material published? It's like a question. I don't know if you have anything. If not, none. But maybe.
Yeah.
Well, the answer is quite difficult to give, because it's very broad. We have lots of propaganda material and how to use the network, even in different languages. It should be collected in the wiki at freifunk.net and the Freifunk GitHub repositories. Out there are also the decentralized communities doing stuff on their own. So I cannot give you a full overview on the published results.
So, so Pa was suggesting, and I totally agree, that I'm going to publish in the same website where we have everything so far. The all that we have that we haven't published, like the schematics of this prototype, because I don't think it's a lot of value to publish the intermediate schematics, but yes, the schematic of this particular prototype, because even if it has bugs, it's already valuable information. And the Gerber files of this, like, we can definitely ask Dragino for them. Even, I think maybe, well, in previous, like in the Mesh Potato 2, for example, he published the files directly on his website. So if you go to Mesh Potato 2, you can download all the relevant files from dragino.com directly. But we can definitely publish them on our site as well. Because, yeah, like, this is already a product. Like, it's not something that will be done again, this particular shape, but it's definitely good as a reference. So, yeah. And of course, this is also obligatory. Well, it's not very good, but it's running lead. It's running lead in this case, yeah. Well, now open word again. and it's running LibreMesh, which is the firmware we have been developing all these past years, and that it's designed with this... it was designed to be flexible enough so that we could simply flash this and with some... Yeah, basically no modifications. Yeah, just one to take into account that it has two radios that are on the same band, so we have to extend the configuration so that it can take a list of channels. Basically that. Yeah. So I think that would be it. Yeah, any other question?
Thank you. Have you done wireless testing? I'm assuming you put the adapters, or put the radios in ad hoc or
yes.
Mesh point mode?
Yes, you can. Just... So, well, it's Nintendo. Okay, so here, so this is the 2.4 radio, mm-hmm. like the SOC radio.
Yeah.
All of them have like three, like an IP, another IP, and a mesh, the 11S mesh node.
Yeah, interface. 11S. So yeah, okay, so that's fine. What you're doing with for the link.
Yes, and also right now it's like the default way, like LibreMesh by default creates these three virtual interface in all radios that it finds. You can fine tune it and say, oh no, I want the 5 GHz radio to only have mesh point and not have APs. But it can also work because it's all Atheros, and so mm-hmm. it's all hardware that we know. Like it's a known set of bugs that doesn't include bugs with
What kind of speeds can it reliably transmit? Yeah.
Good. So I tested D radios, which have been available for longer, and I could sustain 150 megabits, like doing net perf. Mm. Doing netperf to my laptop, mm-hmm. and I could sustain 150 megabits, which is basically the maximum that, yeah. And I tested as well with the antennas. Mm-hmm. I think that's published. Published on the web.
Okay. But is that over the hotspot or the mesh interface? The 150.
No, I think. I can check. I don't remember now, but for sure I did some test with the laptop as a client, so testing AP mode. But right. the I made a kind of longer distance, like a 50-100 meter, and in that case it was like maybe 120. That's what published on the web. Mm, okay. And in that case it was over the mesh interface. So okay. Using a TP-Link, because I did not have two of these devices, but so I used a TP-Link with LibreMesh and this radio with LibreMesh. And so the transfer was done over 11S.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. And it also gave a similar result, like more than 100 megabit.
How many did you produce now? From these boards.
So we asked Dragino for 8 prototypes. He made like 20, or it was his decision to make more.
So is there a possibility to get one more? Is there a possibility to get one?
I don't know, maybe. I don't know. We could ask him. No, we paid for and we planned for having 8 prototypes that we distributed around. So like now 2 of them, or no more, like 4 of them are in Argentina to be deployed in a long-term test. Because this test I was talking about, it was just an afternoon. But we want to see this running for months. And so we want to start that as soon as possible. Even if this is not going to be the final product, but it's at least find out more long-term bugs.
I'm asking because we have Ledel and we have an own firmware like OpenVRT. So the question is to get additional software on that device.
Yes.
So we need one device for that.
Yes, I think we could definitely manage to do that. Yes,
okay.
Let's talk after. After the talk.
Okay.
Yeah. We are almost. We can. One more question. Yes.
Yeah. One. Didn't do before about the community building. We're gonna have a workshop about Freifunk Hilft, which is about how to include other people and how to communicate with people out of the community and bring them into it, and how to do this education. It's tomorrow at 2:00. It's Monique and me. So probably you join, or anybody interested, would be nice.
Okay, thank you. So just to wrap up, the plan in the next few months is to deploy that. Nico Chanis in Argentina is in charge of that. He's going to put up, he just came back to Argentina after we did a hackathon last weekend, and he's going to put up the nodes with the antennas, like the full mesh node, and in this town where community network is already running, and see how it works in the long term, which is going to be very useful information in terms of performance. What about the heat, like in real life scenarios, like in the sun in summer, all these kind of things that we can only know by testing. So thank you very much.